Greg, I have a book in my hand. Jimmy Lee and James, Two Lives, Two Deaths in the Movement That Changed America. The cover of the book looks almost like a front page of a newspaper, showing the events of Bloody Sunday, March 7th, 1965. Story behind the historic 1965 Voting Rights March from Selma to Montgomery. And we'll find out about Jimmy Lee and James. Who are these two different individuals? How do they play a part in all of this in history? And we have with us one of the co-authors, along with Steve Pfeiffer. It is Adar Cohen who joins us this morning. Good morning, Adar. Thank you for joining us and sharing this story. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So talk about this story. Many things in history kind of have a blanket cover. We kind of know important facts, major players in that. Jimmy Lee and James, who are these two individuals, and how did they really have an impact into what became the Voting Rights Act passage and the march as well?
Yeah, you know, that's the question that drove our writing of the book. Few people know Jimmie Lee Jackson and James Reeb, and yet their contributions to the movement were monumental. And so that's how Steve and I set out in writing this book, was to answer that question, who are these two? And in some ways, I think the best way to approach that answer is to look at March 7th, 1965, which is the date of Bloody Sunday, the historic attack on nonviolent demonstrators on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, demonstrators who sought to march from Selma to Montgomery and were attacked by police and posse men and just local ruffians who had been deputized by the police. You have to look at this ironic and poignant moment in American history. 50 million Americans are in their living rooms the evening of March 7th, watching Judgment at Nuremberg, which is the film which documents Nazi atrocities. And this is the nation's reckoning with that not-so-distant past. But ABC cuts from the film to show footage of the attack on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And viewers go from seeing Nazi war crimes to seeing Alabama troopers beating up on peaceful protesters with clubs and whips and firing tear gas canisters, and it's kind of a savage scene. So the irony of this moment and the conscience it stirred and the imagination it captured on the part of the American people really galvanized the movement. Just before Bloody Sunday, an African-American woodcutter, farmer, deacon in his church was shot and killed during a peaceful protest in nearby Marion, Alabama, and his name was Jimmy Lee Jackson. His death really spurred activists to double down their efforts on the voting rights issue. Dr. King eulogized Jimmy Lee Jackson at his church in Marion, Alabama. And the movement accelerated. And the activists in SCLC, Dr. King's organization, and also in SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and in others, they just kept the pressure on Selma, which had been selected as the battleground to dramatize African Americans' grievances with their voting disenfranchisement. The violence on the Pettus Bridge is what followed Jimmy Lee Jackson's death when marchers tried to go from Selma to Montgomery. And in the wake of that violence, Dr. King called on clergy from all over the country, especially white clergy, to come to Selma and bear witness to what was happening and to lend their voice and to lend their hand. And Reverend James Reeb was one of those ministers who took up that call and came to Selma. And very soon after he arrived, he was attacked and died from that attack.
Where did he come from?
He came from Boston. He was working in the Roxbury neighborhood of Boston on fair housing, was looking to bring African-American housing up to code and just basically looking for social justice for his neighbors. He actually moved his family into Roxbury to live with the folks he was trying to serve.
Adar, how did elected officials back in that time work to keep African Americans from voting or registering to vote?
It's a great question. It's been a number of ways, some of them more creative than others, some of them more sinister than others, but it was a combination of intimidation. In almost all cases, the African Americans relied on the white power structure to allow them to sustain themselves, and so attempting to register to vote could be grounds for being run off the farm where you work, or losing your job as a housekeeper for the family you worked for. So there was that kind of threat and intimidation. But at the voting registrar's office, African Americans were subjected to ridiculous literacy tests. Tests that would include how many jelly beans are in this jar and how many bubbles does a bar of soap make. Things that really actually not only disenfranchised but really made a mockery of blacks' attempts to register themselves to vote. So there were those hurdles at the registrar. And then, in the effort to dramatize and bring light to the grievance against voting rights disenfranchisement, law enforcement often responded brutally, very brutally, to attempts to be registered to vote. So it was a combination of all of these things that really kept blacks out of the democratic process in the South long after they were granted the right to vote.
We're talking today with Dar Cohen, one of the authors of the book Jimmy Lee and James, Two Lives, Two Deaths, and the Movement That Changed America. When you were doing this research, is there still open wounds related to these deaths and this story down in the South?
There certainly are. We spent a great deal of time in Alabama interviewing folks and spending time with people, building the trust that would allow us to go back to folks time and time again over the 2 years of researching this book. And those wounds are real. And there's been some closure and some healing. But some of it has been much more recent than we might imagine. Part of what our book chronicles is the struggle for justice in the wake of Jimmie Lee Jackson's shooting. State Trooper James Bernard Fowler, just a few years ago, was actually brought back to justice for his shooting of Jimmie Lee Jackson 40 years afterward. And that was a very powerful time for residents of that community to grapple again with the legacy of the movement and the legacy of the white power structure's response to the protesters' demands. So in some cases, closure's been reached, but in our research, we found that some people are still looking for healing. And in fact, recent developments, news headlines that we see from around the country having to do with police violence and patterns of unconstitutional policing continue to vex African Americans and actually open up those old wounds. Voting rights is another issue that that persists and aggravates some of those old scars.
It's interesting, it says the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Obviously, it's important, but it kind of has a dry took to its Voting Rights Act. But then there's all the emotion, the individuals, the stories that are behind it, which are really kind of part of this book. And you mentioned about the two gentlemen, Jimmie Lee and James. Were there others? I mean, obviously you picked two, and within finding their story, you've probably come across other stories.
So many others. And we chose Jackson and Reeb, Jimmie Lee and James, because they were lesser known, and because their stories seemed they hadn't been told. But certainly in the research for the book, we come across the familiar giants of the movement, as well as some of the lesser-known foot soldiers who made it work day in and day out through their sacrifice and through their commitment.
You have a picture in there even of the Civil Rights Memorial in Montgomery, which features their name, mm-hmm. and just a brief one or two line about what occurred there and with those individuals, too. So obviously a lot of people there. Does doing a book like this give you a different perspective, as you mentioned, of what's currently going on in different cities related to people who have issues with the police and the way the protests go in different cities? And it's different, but yet there is sort of a, mm-hmm. somewhat of a people upset with something, protesting in one manner or another, and then the media's portrayal of that too.
Mm. It's one of my hopes for the book, is that this story and the example and the legacy of the nonviolent activists who brought about these great signature milestones in our democracy, that their discipline and their commitment to a strategic and principled nonviolence really won the day. And that level of organizing and leadership and unity in a struggle to articulate the breadth and scope of injustice, that's something that I think we can learn from still today.
The book is called Jimmy Lee and James, Two Lives, Two Deaths, and the Movement That Changed America. Our guest today has been Adar Cohen, one of the co-authors, along with Steve Pfeiffer, on this book. We appreciate your time, and thanks for putting the story together.
Thank you. Hey, thank you for having me.
Great.